Mishnah Yomis for Shabbos, Kodesh, the first day of Cheshvan, Tovshin Pei Hei. Masech de Baba Metzia, Perek Tashi, Mishnah Yudbeis. We're going to learn about the laws of holding back wages or paying wages to an employee and what type of lavin, what type of mitzvahs a person, the employer, misses out on, and when is he over them, when is he not. Echod, schar adam, whether it's rent, whether it's wages for a person, ve'echod schar behemia, whether it's a higher fees for an animal, ve'echod schar kelim, whether it's for hire of equipment. Either way, any one of these cases, if a person withholds payment, yesh bo mishum, he's violating the prohibition or the mitzvah saseh, b'yoymoi tisiten sechoroi, where it says, in the day you shall pay the wages. V'yesh bo mishum v'loi solin pula sochir adchabeker. And he's also violating a negative command, do not hold the wages of your employer until the morning. So if he hasn't paid in time, he's over these mitzvahs. The Gemara learns this from the Pasuk, lo sashik schar shabar tzecha, you shall not hold back the wages of an employer, asher be'artzecha. The word be'artzecha comes to include everything in your land, whether it's animals or equipment, equally on the same loisas and the same prohibition as of a person, wages of a person. And similarly, we learn it out of the Pasuk, lo solin pula socher itcha. You should not hold, they should not hold overnight the wages of the person with you. Anything that you are holding, that the work is with you. Emosai, continues the Mishnah. When is the employer over? Bisman shetvoi. If the employee has asked him for the wages, has asked him for payment, then he's over. But loitvoi, if the worker hasn't asked for it, ain't over lo. He's not violating the isur of paying the mitzvah of paying the wages in the day and not delaying payment. The Gemara adds another condition and says that the same thing would also, that equally, if the person, even if the worker asked for the payment, but the employee didn't have money, he didn't have any cash to give him, he's also not over. He will also not violate it. So really, to be over the Isur, it would require two things. Number one, the employee to ask for it, and the employer to withhold it, even though he's got the cash, he can pay. Continues the Mishnah. What happens if the employer tells him, look, go to the shopkeeper and ask him to give you food according to the value of the wages that you have? And the employee and the shopkeeper agreed to take this on. Or Etzel Shluchani, or next to the money exchanger who's got some cash, he says, look, he told the money exchanger to lay out cash for the wages. And then that's it. Has the employer now freed himself of the obligation? Says the Mishnah, yes, ain't over love. Now he's no longer violating withholding wages. And this is learned. The Gemara brings a brisa for this. The Gemara brings a pasuk for this. Lo solin pu'ulas sochir. You shall not hold back the wages of an employee. Itcha. What does itcha mean? Itcha means when it's your withholding. In other words, when there is a case where the only thing that's holding back is your rotzen, so that the employee has asked for it, and you're not giving it. That's when you are over. But if he hasn't asked for it, so it means that the employee doesn't yet want to get paid. So that's fine. That's where we learn that even if he hasn't been asked for it, the wages, then he's not over. Now, where do we know that even if he doesn't have the cash, he's not over it? Because the pasuk says, itcha. Itcha means you've got it with you. So if you've passed on the obligation to the shopkeeper or to the money exchanger and they've accepted it, then it's no longer itcha. It's no longer the wages. It's not on your head. It's not on your responsibility anymore. You've freed yourself, providing they've agreed to take it on, obviously. Sochir bizmanoi, says the Mishnah further, an employee who asks for his wages within the time that it's chal to be paid, and the employer says, I've paid it. Nishba, the employee can swear or has to swear that he hasn't got his wages yet, venoitel, and he takes the wages from the employer. Now, normally, when a shvur is given, a shvur of the Torah, it's for the person to be freed of payment, not to take payment. So here, however, the Chachamim made a special decree that the employee can serve, can swear and take the wages. Very unusual. And the reason I did this is because often the employer is so busy with all his businesses that he has, all the dealings that he has, and it's more likely that he will forget and think that he's paid it when he hasn't. The employee, however, who's looking forward to getting his wages, is less likely to make that mistake. However, there is a condition attached. The Gemara qualifies this by saying, this is only if he employed the person with witnesses. There are witnesses that he employed this man. If, however, he employed him without any witnesses, well, then the employer will be believed with a migui, with a following argument. And that is because he could have said, look, you're asking for wages? I never employed you. I never employed you. And because he could have said that, therefore he's believed to say, I employed you and paid you your wages. So our mission is talking about a case where it's known that he employed this person. There are witnesses. There's no argument about that. Now, this is all talking about if he's asking for the wages within the time of payment. We'll soon see what that means. What happens if the time of payment is already passed? And if the employee now comes and asks for the wages after the time of payment is passed? For example, he's a day worker and he's got all night to pay. The employer has the whole night to pay. And he comes and he asks for it the next morning. That's already after the time of payment. So basically, you get a 12-hour period to find the cash to pay, and that's if he's a day worker, then he should be paid from the night till the end of the night. Now, what happens if the night's over and the employee says, "I haven't been paid"? Eino nishpa v'noitel. He will not swear and get his wages. Rather, the employer will swear that he's already paid and he'll be free to pay. Now, why is that? Didn't we say before that an employer is busy and it's easy for him to forget? That's true. That's within the time of payment. But after, when the time of payment has come, we assume that it's more likely that the employer would have paid attention and made sure to pay him rather than being violating the Isra of Loisolin. Im yesh edim shatvoy. Now, what happens if there's witnesses that can say that the employee has asked, we saw the employee ask the employer for wages at the end of the time of payment. For example, he's a hired worker, a day worker, I should say. And the witnesses say, we saw him ask the employer for his wages at the end of the night. That's called sovsmano. Or if he's a night worker, they say, we saw him ask at the end of the day after the night. And the employer says, in front of witnesses, I'll pay you afterwards. In that case, harizeh nishpa v'neitel. Then the employee has to swear and he can get his wages. The Gemara explains this is only for the entire day that he's been asking the wages. So let's say he was working Monday. He worked Monday till the evening. So the time for collection of his wages is Monday night. You always get the 12-hour shift after the shift that he worked in. So he's got the time to collect his wages all Monday night. So if he's coming to claim his wages during Monday night, he has to swear, the employee will swear, and then take his wages. However, when it comes to Tuesday, it's already after this time of payment, he will not get it with a shvur. He will not take it with an oath. If he brings Adim, however, if the employee can bring Adim, that he says, I asked the employer at the end of Monday night, and he said he will pay me the next day, then he can claim that he hasn't been paid and swear and get money all of Tuesday. But to Tuesday night again, well, he'll have to bring a proof that he hasn't been paid. And the same thing will happen if he brings witnesses, if the employee brings witnesses that he was asking him all the way up to Wednesday night as well, or Tuesday night as well, then he can keep on asking till the next day. And this can go on until the last time that he's asked for the wages, that he can bring witnesses that he's asked for the wages, and then the employer says, I'll pay you after. Ger Toysof. A ger, this is a non-Jewish person, who is only accepted upon himself the seven mitzvahs b'nei noach, the seven Noahide laws. He doesn't keep any other mitzvahs. He's not Jewish. He doesn't have to. what are our obligations to him as an employee? Says the Mishnah, Yesh bo mishum b'yom esit en scharei. The positive mitzvah of you shall pay the wages on the day applies to him as well. We learn this out of the pasuk, O migercha shebartzcha bisha orecha. The word bisha orecha in your gates, in your cities, tells us this includes also a goy, a non-Jew. Why? Because the non-Jew is described as being able to eat the non-kosher foods and avela. Bish orecha, the pasuk says. So we associate the word bish orecha with a ger toshav. However, even though there is a positive mitzvah of giving him the wages in the day, the ein boy mishum loy solin pulas sochira d'chaboyker. There is not the accompanying prohibition of withholding. You should not withhold or hold overnight the wages of your work until the morning. That will only apply to a Yisrael, only to a Jew. As it says in the pasuk in the beginning there, loy sashak es re'acha, your friend. Your friend means that's talking about a Jewish person. But the positive mitzvah of paying wages on time, yes, that applies to a non-Jew as well. Mishnah Yud Gimel, a non-Jew who keeps the seven mitzvahs b'nenach. Mishnah Yud Gimel. Hamal v'schaver, a person who lends his friend. The time comes for payment and he hasn't paid. And now he wants to take a mashkin. He wants to take a security for the loan. Lo yimashkinenu ela b'beistin. He can only do it with a beistin. He can't force the person to give him a mashkin. He must get a shlecha beistin to do it, who will take a mashkin from the loiver, and that's from the borrower. However, v'lo yikones levesa litol mashkinai. But even the shlecha beistin is not allowed to go into the house to take the mashkin, to take his security. He has to stand outside and until the fellow brings out the mashkin. Shanamas, it says, Bachutz ta'amoid, on the outside you shall stand, v'ho'ish, and the man, asher t'anoshe boy, that you are exacting money from, he will take out, yotzelechas v'dachutza, he will take out to you the security outside. And the Gemara learns, from the fact that it says Bachutz ta'amoid, it says you shall stand outside. Isn't it obvious that the man that you are asking for will bring it out? Why does it need to say v'ho'ish? Why does it need to add v'ho'ish? Gemara says this word v'ho'ish comes to include even a shliach based in. And therefore the Gemara will learn the pasuk in the following way. Bachutz ta'amoid v'ho'ish. On the outside you shall stand, outside the borrower's house you shall stand, and the man, meaning even a man who's a shliach based in. And the man who you are chasing, he shall take out for you the security on the outside. But nevertheless, despite the fact that both the shlech based in or the lender cannot enter the house of the borrower, there is still a difference between a malva, a lender, and the shlech based in. The shlech based in, what he can force the borrower to give a mashkin when he's outside the house, whereas the lender cannot take it by force. He can only get the security willingly from the borrower. But both cannot enter the house of the borrower. What happens if the lender has taken a mortgage for two pieces of equipment? He takes one and he returns and he leaves one. So he gives back whatever equipment the loiver needs, as we'll soon see. So that, for example, a cushion. He's taken the fellow's mattress or cushion, and then the lender has to give back the cushion for night, and a machresh, the plow, which he may have taken as a pledge, as a security, he shall give that back for the day, each morning, so he can do his work with it. V'meis, and if the borrower died, eino machzir liyorshav, the lender is not required to give the security back to the heirs. And this is learned from the pasuk, Hoshev toshev loy es ha'avod, you shall give him the security. Return it to him, but not to his heirs, not to his yorshim. So, from here the Gemara learns that even though one has to give back the mashkin, the security, to the borrower when he needs it, nevertheless, we still take the mashkin each time so that the shmitah should not get rid of the debt. Whenever you lend money, whenever a person lends money over a mashkin, then the debt does not become abolished by the shmitah year. And there's a second thing advantage of taking a mashkin, and that is that it will not become chattels by the children, which means that if the loaver dies, the lender is able to collect his debt from the mashkin. As we said before, you don't have to give it to the yorshim, because once the malva, the lender, has taken the security, it's called a kinyan. It's like he owns it. So when he gives it back to the borrower each time, it's like he's depositing it. It's like a pikkudin by him. And what's the reason, the purpose of going back and taking back the mashkin each time? And that is, it serves two purposes, Tosfos explains. Number one, so the borrower won't be able to deny the loan. And number two, it encourages him to pay his debt quicker, because it's embarrassing every single day is to give him back the mashkin. Rabbi Shmuel ben Gamliel Amar, Af li atzmoi eina machzir. Even to the borrower himself, he doesn't give back the mashkin, elad shloshim yom, only until the maximum period of 30 days. That's the time. That's the zmana based in. Or mishloshim yom, from 30 days and over, any time over 30 days, he hasn't paid the debt. Or lahalon, moicharon, or lahalon, and beyond 30 days, moicharon bevestin. Then the lender is allowed to sell those objects that he's taken as security in based in, and he's allowed to sell it. And he can collect it and use it to pay his debt with it. Halacha, however, is not like Rav Shmuel ben Gamliel. The halacha is that if whatever the loiver needs, the mashkin, he always has to take it, the lender has to take it back, and he cannot sell it. If, however, the mashkin was something that the borrower didn't need, and one doesn't have to return it to him all the time, like day or night item, then the malva, the lender, can sell the object after 30 days. So the argument is really between Rav Shmuel ben Gamliel and the Tana Kamma is when it's an article that the loaver does need, can he sell it after 30 days? Not, Rav Shmuel ben Gamliel says he can. Almona, a widow, whether she's poor or rich, ain mamashkin anoisa, we do not take a security from her. Shanama, as it says, that's even through a shlich basin. As it says, v'loy sachavoyl beged almona. Do not take the clothes of a widow as a security. Now, there is a machlokas rishonim as to when the Torah is talking about not taking a pledge. According to the Rambam, it's even in the time initially at the halvah. Even initially at the loan, when you lend the money, you cannot take this as a security. Others, however, learn the Mishnah is talking about not at the time of the loan. If it's done at the beginning of the loan, yes, you can even take the coat or the garment of an almona, of a widow, at the time. When can you not take it? These are shown him hold if it's when you're coming back afterwards for payment, and the fellow or the widow does not have the money to pay it, then that's when the Torah says, do not take it, do not take the clothes of an almana. Hachovel esorachayim, a person who takes the grinding stones from a person as a mashkin, and we're talking about hand grinding stones, which is a chattel, something it's possible to take a mashkin, over beloisase v'chayv mishum shakanim. He violates a loisase of the Torah, and he gets two prohibitions, because the grinding stones has the upper stone and lower stone, and the Torah uses both in its expression. Shenema lo yachavoil rechayim v'rochev. You shall not take as a pledge, as a security, the grinding stone, the lower one, and the upper one. Rochev means the one that rides. Even though they're doing the same job, grinding, nevertheless, the Torah singles out each part of it to tell you that if you take a security of both of them, one is chayv on each one independently. And then finally, the Mishnah says, v'loy rechayim borechav bilvad omro, and it doesn't just apply to the grinding stones that they were chayv because of a double isur, the two parts of it. Elakoldovar. Any equipment that is used for making food, like cooking utensils, baking utensils, which may be made of different parts, or different kelim, one is chayv on each keli on its own. And even if he took two kelim, where both of them are doing one malacha, like we said by the grinding, he gets malchus for each one independently. Shenamar ki nefesh hu choyvel, because the soul he has hurt or taken. This is coming to include other equipments of oichel nefesh, not just a grinding stone, but other equipments as well. The Forshim asks an obvious question, and that is, we learnt earlier on in this Mishnah that he give back the cushion or the mattress at night and the plough by the day, because the plough he uses in the day and obviously the mattress he uses at night. But the question they ask is, we said at the end of the Mishnah that if you take anything that he uses for his cooking, Ochel Nevesh, like grinding stones, it's prohibited, not allowed to take it. So how can the Mishnah say you return back the plough? How could he take it in the first place? The plough is used for making food. And the Gemara answers, the Meforshim answer, we're talking about a case where he takes the pledge in the nighttime, which is not at the time of ploughing. And the Torah only prohibited something which is fit to do a malacha, like things that you can use even in the nighttime to prepare food. That's when we say you can't take them.